Copy, Captain. Let's move.
ABC Thursdays.
Firefighters, we're family.
Station 19 is back for its final and hottest season yet.
The subject has explosive chemicals.
Get down!
With fiery romances.
You're the love of my life.
And Andy is finally in charge.
I'm going to be the best damn captain the station has ever seen.
Station 19. All new Thursdays, 10, 9 Central on ABC and stream on Hulu.
News radio studios in Midtown Manhattan. It's the fastest growing radio talk show. Brian Kilmeade.
So glad you're here. What a week it's been, and we're not slowing down at all. Word just came out that Trump could be close to that $460 million to keep everybody at bay while he waits for his appeal. I'll keep you up to date on that. Nicole Ambrose will be joining us too, the Maryland National Committee woman. She'll give us a perspective on what Republicans are up to. Also, did you see the latest poll? Larry Hogan, the popular, moderate Republican governor from Maryland, former now, is up double digits in the Senate race. Now, a lot can happen, obviously, but it just goes to show you people of Maryland leans left pretty much, as we know. We're pretty happy with the way he governed. And if you want the balance of power to go to the Republicans in the Senate, Hogan winning would virtually guarantee it. So before we get to Comer, let's get to the big three.
Now, with the stories you need to know, it's Brian's big three.
Number three.
You're the reason why, in large part, I beat Donald Trump.
Yes. Let's beat him again.
Well, you know, I need you. I need you badly. I need the help. Kamala and I desperately need your help.
That is Joe Biden begging for Hispanic help. 2024, Biden begs the media to check the polls. He says he's winning. We did. He's not. Trump is winning in battleground states and winning over Hispanics, which for the Dems means time to panic, which they are.
Number two.
If the New York Attorney General starts to take his homes away, starts to seize his assets, you're going to create the greatest victimhood of 2024. And you're going to elect Donald Trump.
And that's what she wants to do. Tish James is eyeing Trump properties as the former president scrambles to get $450 million. It's the appeals judge. It's in the appeals court's hands. But is America's judgment on who is the villain, is it really flipping in real time?
Number one.
I mean, right now, this happened earlier this morning in El Paso. Approximately 600 illegal immigrants that actually contributed to breaching those physical barriers and getting across unlawfully, complete disrespect for our laws in Texas, complete disrespect for the sovereignty of our state.
That is Lieutenant Chris Olivares. The border is overrun in El Paso. It's a scene I never thought I would see in America. Just one arrest when hundreds get through. The Dems are beginning to realize it's a disaster for them. They have to address it as President Biden goes to two border states but does not go to the border itself. Congressman James Comer of Kentucky, Chairman of the House Oversight and Accountability Committee, thanks so much for joining us.
My pleasure.
I know you have a lot on your plate, but did you happen to see this scene at the border?
Yeah, I'm watching Fox right now. I mean, it's a joke. I mean, this is the policy that Joe Biden wants. He wants an open border policy. He's trying to fundamentally change America. This is about politics. This is about the Electoral College. This is about getting new voters. And it's despicable, and hopefully this will be the biggest issue in the election this fall.
You know, no one thought it was possible. You know, those Republicans don't like Hispanics. That's why they want to crack down on the border. Everybody knows that ship has sailed. How do you explain this? The latest Siena New York Times poll, Congressman Comer, has Trump up six with Hispanics. The New York Times Siena poll, which yep. leans left.
We should be the party of the Hispanics. Hispanics work hard. They have a strong sense of family. They pay their taxes. They are Republicans by ideology. And look, many of the Hispanics they want border security. The majority of Hispanics want border security. Their ancestors and many of them came over here legally.
Yeah.
There's a legal process to come here. They know that the people that are crossing the border are bringing fentanyl, they're bringing crime, and they don't want that. The Hispanics have as strong a sense of family as any demographic in America, and it's a threat to their family with all the crime that's coming across Joe Biden's open border.
So What is your take on the Bobulinski? I call it the Bobulinski hearing yesterday, or 2 days ago. It was his chance to go out and say what he saw up close and personal, to recount again for the American people, for anyone watching, that he did sat across from Joe Biden. He said, take care of my son. He was 10% for the good guy. Those were his, for the big guy, those were his text messages. It was Bobulinski being challenged by Dan Goldman and by AOC and by Jamie Raskin. What emerged in your mind, Congressman Comer?
The truth. And look, of all the Biden associates that the Bidens had, Tony Bobulinski's the one guy with a spotless past. He made his own money. He didn't make it through scheming people like all the other associates. He's never been in prison. He's never been investigated. He's the one guy that was clean as a whistle. And because of that, he could tell the truth. You know, you've got Devin Archer, you've got all, Eric Sherwin, you've got all these other people that were involved with the Bidens who, honestly, Brian, would need immunity or something to be able to tell the truth, because they would implicate themselves in their schemes because they were schemes. And Tony Bobulinski figured out that the Bidens weren't interested in a real deal with China. They were just interested in getting kickbacks and bribes. And I thought Tony Bobulinski did a tremendous job fighting back against the baseless attacks that the Democrats were leveling against him. Goldman, Raskin, Garcia, all those people were trying to rattle Tony Bobulinski because they had a media narrative already coordinated that the committee hearing would be chaotic and our witness was hostile. But what happened is our witness made him look like fools. He made AOC look like a fool when she said RICO wasn't a crime. So I think that it was a very successful hearing. And you know, one of the things that the Democrats and the media have criticized me on, they said, oh, well, you have witnesses like Galanis and all these other people that are in prison or under investigation. Well, that's not my fault, Brian. That's a reflection on the Bidens, not me. That's who they were in business with. All of the people, with the exception of Tony Bobulinski, that the Bidens had as associates are in some type of trouble somewhere. And I thought Jason Galanis, the other witness we had, did a great job, too. The fact that the Bureau of Prisons told us that he could testify in person, and then the Department of Justice came in and obstructed that. And that's about their 10th example of obstruction throughout this investigation. He had to testify virtually, but I thought he did a great job. And, you know, the thing about Jason Galanis, Devin Archer, and Hunter Biden were all equal partners in a scheme to defraud a Native American pension fund. Galanis has been in prison for a decade. Archer's going to prison for that. Hunter Biden, scot-free. Just like everything else, the Bidens never get in trouble. The law don't apply to the Bidens.
So Lev Parnas is the guy that played a role in the impeachment, working with Rudy Giuliani to use his contacts to find out what was going on with the Bidens in Ukraine. I don't want to relitigate that, and I was shocked that they thought that this was part of your investigation. Yeah. But listen to Bobulinski and Parnas spar.
I think it's laughable that the Democrats are asking Lev Parnas to weigh in on my credibility, a convicted felon that served jail time. I have an impeccable record. Now, he warned me earlier in this hearing that they're coming for me.
I said just keep talking. You'll be there soon.
I look forward to that, Mr. Parnas.
Keep lying. You'll be there soon.
Well, and
is that a threat, yes, Mr. Parnas?
No, it's just the truth.
Did you say they were coming for me?
No, I said if you keep lying, you will end up in prison.
I'm not lying. You're the one who was lying.
You have nothing to say.
You're the one who went to prison for lying.
What am I lying for? Tell me what we're lying for, Mr. Bobulinski.
What?
You don't even know what you're talking about. What am I lying?
You went to prison for lying and defrauding your investors.
What am I lying here?
Oh, the list is long. We don't have enough time. I think Mr. Gates only has a minute.
I think you're a little scared, just like Mr. Gates.
So one crime.
Because Mr. Gates doesn't even ask a question. You're filibustering. I've been here for 6 hours, and not one of your committee members has asked me one question.
He's not there. Bobulinski doesn't have committee members. So going back and forth, you can't touch him. Goldman just making things up. AOC coming up, what is the charge? And I'm just amazed that the other networks have not played anything from Bobulinski. They don't try to book him. He said, Jake Tapper, go book me. So where do you go from here?
Well, we're going to give President Biden an opportunity to defend himself. What we saw from that hearing is what we saw from our depositions. You have three former Biden associates all testify under oath that Joe Biden was a central figure in the influence peddling schemes. And remember, Brian, no Democrat, no one in the media is disputing the fact that the Bidens were influence peddling. No one's disputing that they took in nearly $30 million for doing absolutely nothing. No one's disputing that we said all their businesses were shell companies. They were just there to launder money from bad people in bad countries. No one's disputing that. What they're saying, the one thing they're disputing is, well, Joe Biden didn't know. They're, you know, playing the elderly, forgetful old man card. You know, he didn't know. But the problem they have with that defense is that three former Biden associates, Jason Galanis, Devin Archer, and Tony Bobulinski, have all testified under oath that Joe Biden did in fact know exactly what the family was doing. He communicated with all the shady characters who were sending the Bidens money to try to get out of some sort of trouble, whether they were being investigated in Romania or Ukraine, or whether they were needing a United States bank to help them open up an account so they could launder money, you know, whatever the crime, the Bidens would go in and try to sell access to Joe. The fact that they have implicated Joe, three former Biden associates, Joe Biden now needs to come in and explain why they're not telling the truth.
There's no way. Yeah,
we're going to go to the – well, if he doesn't, then we'll proceed with criminal referrals.
And that's what you'll do. So I also want to just get to this, and then I want to find out where we go. The CIA has, according to a whistleblower that has now come forward, the CIA has blocked the federal government from interviewing Hunter Biden's so-called sugar brother, and that, of course, is that movie producer. Mm-hmm. He is somebody that they wanted to talk to, Kevin Morris. They have a 5-year probe into what he was up to. He paid the bills and paid the IRS for Hunter Biden. Why would the CIA block him being interviewed for this investigation, for any investigation?
Every crime that either Hunter Biden or Jim Biden has ever been involved in, whether they were being investigated by the IRS, the Department of Justice, the Securities and Exchange Commission, it doesn't matter who. Someone in the government would step in and tell the investigators to stand down. We've heard that multiple times from Gary Shapley and Joseph Ziegler. We've heard that multiple times from Department of Justice employees that have been interviewed and deposed throughout this investigation. There's always someone in the deep state that steps in and tells them to stand down. The fact that no one's been allowed to interview Kevin Morris is a joke, because Kevin Morris is paying all of Hunter Biden's bills. He's paying his taxes. He's paying a $40,000 a month rent at a fabulous condo in Southern California. He's paying his child support payments. Hunter Biden doesn't have a job. He's living a life of luxury. And this attorney in California is paying his bills.
Unbelievable.
And no one can even talk to him about it in the investigation.
So if you wanted to call him in right now, the CIA would block you?
No, we've interviewed Kevin Morris, but he wouldn't tell us anything because he said he's Hunter's attorney, and he was saying, I've got attorney-client privileges, and he's not his attorney. He's his sugar brother. But because Kevin Morris is an attorney, even though he's never filed any papers or done anything that I can tell to help Hunter in his endless number of legal quests, when we brought him in for a transcribed interview, anytime we would ask for any information or pertinent documentation, he would say, well, I can't give that to you. I'm his attorney, and we have an attorney-client privilege. It's a joke.
I want you to hear what Mike Lawler said, fellow Republican, also in a tough fight to keep a seat in New York. Cut 45.
Look, the reason I supported the impeachment inquiry was because the White House was refusing to cooperate with certain subpoenas. As I've said repeatedly, I did not believe there was sufficient evidence for an impeachment, but that obviously Congress has oversight responsibility and should continue down that road. However, that does not mean that we should go towards impeachment. I have yet to see any evidence that would warrant the rise to impeachment.
Should he be seeing it, or are you not there yet either?
No, he should be seeing it. But look, you know, you've got some moderate Republicans. We've got some disgruntled Republicans that get harassed by CNN and MSNBC and the New York Times. He's up there in New York, and they're always, you know, squeezing him on impeachment. He doesn't want to talk about it. And that's fine. You know, whatever. what does accountability look like? That's where I am now. We've proven the Bidens were influence peddling. We've proven they didn't pay any taxes on the money they never should have received to begin with. And we've proven Joe Biden was the family's closer in the deals. He was the one that would go in with a wink and a nod and shake hands and make everyone think, yeah, you're paying my family for access to me. I'm going to be able to say plausible deniability, but wink, wink, I'm all in on it. We've proven that. And the next phase is holding them accountable, because the Bidens have never been held accountable. What does accountability look like? Does it look like impeaching? Does it look like impeaching Joe Biden in the House and then the Senate tabling it and nothing ever happening? Or does it look like criminal referrals in the Department of Justice? The media said we couldn't get the votes to pass the impeachment inquiry. Every single Republican voted for that, even Ken Buck and Lawler. They all voted for it. And I believe that when faced with another vote like that, I think we would have the votes to get there. But at the end of the day, the Senate's not going to do anything, Brian. And I think criminal referrals, especially with
will
Hunter
the Department
Biden,
of Justice, Congressman Comer, do anything?
Well, if they don't, then the next Department of Justice can. And if Donald Trump wins and puts in a competent attorney general, he's not going to have to investigate anything, because we've already done the investigation, that his attorney general can go in and hold him accountable. And look, with all the legal troubles Hunter Biden's in now, criminal referrals would be the most damaging thing that could ever happen to him, because the last time we communicated with a judge, it was when David Weiss was trying to give Hunter Biden blanket immunity, and there was a letter from Congress to the judge that stated all the crimes Hunter Biden had committed, including violation of Foreign Agents Registration Act, and the judge threw out that blanket immunity deal. So we've already proven that we can get judges to take up our investigation with our list of evidence. And I think that this is the best route to go forward to actually provide some accountability to this corrupt family.
Chairman James Comer, you've had your hands full, busy week. I look forward to the next step. Thank you so much.
Thank you.
All right, 1-866-408-7669. I have a couple of minutes when we get back, and then Nicolee Ambrose on what's going on in Maryland that could flip the Senate to the Republicans. Don't move.
Newsmakers and newsbreakers. Hear it first on the Brian Kilmeade Show.
This is Jimmy Failla, inviting you to join me for Fox Across America, where we'll discuss every single one of the Democrats' dumb ideas. Just kidding. It's only a 3-hour show. Listen live at noon Eastern or get the podcast at foxacrossamerica.com.
A talk show that's real. This is the Brian Kilmeade Show.
Hey, welcome back, everybody. So let me just make sure the TVs are down here. So it looks as though there's some reports now that Donald Trump is extremely close to getting enough money for the $450 million bond. Why is that significant? Because Letitia James has already contacted Westchester County to see if she could start proceedings on foreclosing on the property or taking them over, or have the state take them over. Why Westchester? Not necessarily she wants it first, but she says she's done her research, and she thinks that one will be take the longest to do, and she doesn't want to waste much time. She wants the move of walking in and saying, looking in Trump Tower and say, this is the state's. She wants the move of walking to 40 Wall Street and saying, now this is owned by New York State, and I did that. She is in a bubble, and as Frank Luntz says, and I'm going to play this for you in 5 minutes when we get back. Frank Luntz, a pollster that does not want to see Donald Trump reelected, came out and said, if Democrats are foolish enough to do something like this, it'll back up everything that Donald Trump's been saying, because he's been saying it because he's right, that this is all about vengeance and it's all about a witch hunt and you went and took his property while he's waiting for appeal. Please, what country is this?
A radio show like no other. It's Brian Kilmeade.
Look at where we are today in a Marquette University Law School poll that was put out last month. Look at that advantage that Joe Biden has on, excuse me, that Donald Trump has on immigration and border security. It's near 30 points. This is a tremendous change that's going on. And it's no wonder that Donald Trump is running on immigration. And he's not just running on it in a Republican primary. He's running on in the general election. And I also think that's why there hasn't been quite the backlash that you might expect over Trump's comments, some of which that I, of course, wouldn't make. And it's because that voters at this particular point are quite concerned about immigration and they trust Donald Trump on this particular
issue. They don't. They also know that people are pretending that Donald Trump is not who he is. He says things very bluntly, but you know exactly what he means. And they tried to do with blood in the streets and say Donald Trump's going for a civil war, when we know that's a common term used in finances and he was talking about cars. That was Howard Enten. He's a CNN election analyst. And it must pain him. I know it pained the host to say that Donald Trump is actually winning with Hispanic voters. And it has everything to do, which is counterintuitive, to the collapse of our border. With us in studio is Nicole Ambrose, a Maryland National Committee woman who ran for Congress herself. And probably one of the most intriguing things to emerge right now in this 2024 race outside the presidency would be what's happening with Larry Hogan as he tries to get a Senate seat. First off, your reaction to what this analyst said.
Well, thank God their Democrats are finally understanding this, as are their
operatives. Numbers are numbers.
Right. And basically, we've had 9 million people flood into this country on the southern border under Joe Biden. That is the population of our 10th state and down. Literally, we have 40 states that have less population than the number of people who have flooded into our country. This is an invasion. And I don't care what party you represent, you should care that this country needs to be a country with borders, a nation state. And to be a nation state, you have to know who's coming in your country.
So the Latino voters, you remember the 2008 autopsy?
Yep.
We have to start softening our language at the border after Mitt Romney lost because people think the Republicans are anti-Hispanic and it's the fastest growing demographic. A lot of that is true. It is the fastest growing demographic, but it's a oversimplification to think that every Latino thinks you're anti-Latino when you talk about enforcing the border. In truth, it has nothing to do with that.
Joe Biden is anti-human rights by allowing this human rights crisis on our southern border. If you are a woman, you don't get across without being raped. It is a $14 billion a year plus industry for their cartels. They control our southern border, not the United States. It is a miscarriage of everything decent in humanity to allow women and children to be trafficked like this across
our
southern border.
So we sent one of our cameras out in Arizona to find out what they thought and talk to some Arizona voters about the Latino vote. Cut 24.
And despite what President Biden might want us to believe, the Latino community in Arizona is really hurting due to inflation.
They're not focused on the issues that actually matter, like economic stability, crime, public safety, supporting small businesses, reducing inflation. Those are the things that actually impact hardworking Latinos every day.
Do you think the economy was better under Trump?
I do.
Yeah, absolutely. I would say so.
And they want to push back. They want to yell at you, Joe Biden's crew, and say, no, unemployment's lower. I created 14 million jobs. Look at the stock market. Nicole, what do you think?
It's just common sense. Everyone knows, you can't fool my lying eyes sort of things. Of course the economy was better. Of course job creation was better. Of course everything was better in America under Donald Trump. And that's the thing the Democrats cannot deny, right? They're going to say it all day long, but people know better. And what's also just really fascinating to me as a former chairman of the Young Republicans is we have the most skeptical generation coming up now in America, the most politically skeptical kids ever. And it's going to be interesting to see the sea change of young voters, perhaps either not voting because they're too upset or perhaps voting Republican because they're like, hey, when I grew up, it was better under Donald Trump.
So people are saying, well, Donald Trump, after obviously 2020 and the January 6th and the trials that happened, he picked a bunch of candidates in 2022. A lot of them didn't do well. You know that. You're working with the RNC. And not many people thought this comeback would happen. And they wanted to knock him out with the court cases.
Right.
They have the opposite effect. Here's what Frank Luntz said. As we wait to find out if Letitia James will be taking some of the iconic Trump properties from him. So when this image happened, he's sitting on the set of CNN, and he said this, cut 17.
And I say this to the attorney general right now. If you play politics on this, this is what the secretaries of state did in Colorado and what they did in, I believe, is Maine. His numbers went up in both states. I don't understand. I'm almost speechless in how pathetic the opposition to Trump has been and how completely misguided. And this is a perfect example of it.
They think it's going to be a great scene to say this is my Trump Tower. But people look at this and say, well, this is wrong. Because he had no plaintiffs. He didn't default on any debt. There came after him in a civil trial without merit.
The Democrats have completely overplayed their hand with the lawfare game. But no case has concerned me more than this civil fraud case.
Why?
In New York. Because it gets at the heart of destroying America for everyone. It doesn't matter that this is about Donald Trump. This is about being able to confiscate everything your life has built with no victims, no damages, nothing. With bank representatives who went in court and said, these were great loans. We made money. We wanted more of this business. This was fantastic. So how on earth can you try to destroy someone's multi-billion dollar business just because you have Letitia James, who in 2018 ranted and raved at a podium saying she was going to destroy Donald Trump and, quote, sue him every day, being the arbiter of justice in the state of New York? New York is the financial capital of the world. And if you undermine that, what bank is going to continue to have their headquarters here? Who's going to come invest in New York, much less in America?
So I want to talk about the Senate. In Montana, there's a lot of people who are very optimistic that Tim Sheehy can flip that seat. Although people have discounted the sitting senator there for a while, for even though he's moderate, he pretends to be a moderate, but never votes that way. Manchin and Sinema, to their credit,
right,
would break from their party.
Right.
This senator didn't. So Sheehy there. You have Jim Justice in West Virginia just going to waltz right in, it seems, in Joe Manchin's seat and flip that seat. In Pennsylvania, Dave McCormick's optimistic. Casey is a tough out. We'll see what happens. But now tell me about Maryland.
Okay. So I think Maryland is in one of the top three pickups. I think the easy one is West Virginia, right? Either whoever wins that, Democrat turned Republican Justice or conservative Republican Alex Mooney, whoever wins that primary on May 14th will win. So West Virginia, check. Maryland is next, also with a primary on May 14th. There are a few challengers, but it looks very promising for Larry Hogan, who was our former two-term governor, at the time the most popular governor in America. And right now, in recent Washington Post polling, he is leading the two Democrat opponents, whoever comes out of that primary, by 12 and 14 points respectively. That makes him, after West Virginia, the most promising Senate seat in America.
Are you surprised? He's a Republican in Maryland. Not easy. Moderate. Understood. Took on Trump, so he's anti-Trump, big time. And yet, when they put out the polls, people in Maryland just like him.
I think this will tighten to a five-point race. We have some challenges in Maryland, which will make this harder than it looks right now. But the other thing I'm really looking at is the internecine fight in the Democrat primary here. You have the endlessly self-funded David Trone versus a Prince George's County executive, Angela Alsobrooks, and those two sides do not like each other. So that can also kind of suppress Democrat turnout on their side in the general.
Nicoli Ambrose is with us now with the Maryland National Committee woman. So we know there's a big change at the RNC midterm.
Yes.
And we know you're being outraised big time, something like $150 million to $40 million in terms of cash on hand. And Joe Biden's right. Listen, that's real. The money's real. And you guys were certainly having trouble getting out of the blocks. How do you assess the changes on top? And what do you think it's going to mean?
So essentially, Republican National Committee members have great deference to when someone has the nomination, here you go. There was no opposition to Michael Whatley becoming chairman and Laura Trump becoming co-chairman. No one ran against them in the early March election, right about the time President Trump resecured the nomination. I think they're going to do very well, especially with fundraising. They already kind of turned around the fundraising boat, have more actively engaged members like me to fundraise, just things that hadn't been happening.
That's a good sign, right?
I think that's
a
very good sign.
They know who to go to.
Exactly. Very good sign. And furthermore, I just think, you know, there had been so much negative press that even if someone did a great job with all the negative press, we weren't getting those mom and pop donors. We need, you know, the local donut shop owner. We need, you know, grandma at home to say.
Can you do that off a mailing list?
You can do that. You can also do it off of social media. You can do it off of every form of communication. People just need to know that they trust you and that you're going to use their money well, that you'll be a good steward.
How do you feel about money being used towards Donald Trump's court cases?
So Chris LaCivita was very clear that RNC funds will not be used for Trump's legal bills. But I absolutely understand that the Democrats have waged this lawfare war and that he will probably, of course, appeal to Americans saying, this is what I'm looking for this money for in different accounts, in different organizations.
Right. It's millions of dollars, no doubt about it. They're trying to bleed him dry, which is why a lot of people just cut deals because you cannot afford to defend yourself. But there's much more at stake here. Is there a plan, and is the RNC being counted on, to have a game plan to holding the House? Is that really not something you guys do?
Right. No, we absolutely do. Our whole goal is, you know, hold the House, win the Senate, win the presidency, right? We have to keep our eye on all those balls. Some of this it is made a little easier because the Senate map looks incredibly strong for Republicans this year, right? Democrats are on hard defense. We have a lot of Senate seats to pick up in states that Trump won huge, okay, in both 2016 and 2020. For the House, I think that's going to be our toughest road to hoe, for sure.
Right, because they've done such a terrible job. They really have. The infighting is so embarrassing for the country. If the Democrats do it, I feel the same way. And when you see that they're going to be signing a $1.7 trillion minibus, if the threat of that got Kevin McCarthy ousted, and Speaker Johnson's going to do this with mostly Democratic votes.
It's frustrating, especially when you have an issue like the border that most all of America agrees with Republicans on. It's like I have said since like last September, put the border in that deal. Say we're not giving money to another country until we get border funding. And what? Mm-hmm. We need money for agents, right? We don't need to fund more of Kamala's visits around the world. No, we need more funding for more border agents.
And real quick, how do you become an RNC delegate?
Okay. So it depends. Each state has different rules for that. So, for example, in my state, you get elected on the congressional ballot, and then there are a few slots at large that we elected our state convention. Every state has different rules, but it's exciting.
Right. Yeah, how do you register?
So
just go to your state.
Literally, it was kind of just like in my state, for example, I've been a delegate for my congressional district before, and you had to go to the State Board of Elections and file as a delegate for that congressional district. And then what you do is you pair that up with a presidential campaign. So you say, you know, people said, OK, I want to be a delegate for Trump or Haley or what have you. And even if your candidate has dropped out of the race, you would still appear on the ballot. Our primary, for example, is until May, and your name would still be on that ballot for whatever candidate was listed behind your name.
Nick Lee Ambrose, thanks so much.
Great to be here.
All right, listen, huge scandal in baseball. The highest paid, most talented, maybe athlete in the world is in the middle of it. We'll discuss it when we come back.
Hear the ins and outs of the 2024 election right here. The Brian Kilmeade Show. The more you listen, the more you'll know. It's Brian Kilmeade.
And let me tell you something. For a guy who has lived in a compulsive gambling world, who has sent millions of dollars of wires all over the country, because I've lived it and I've done it. You can build a relationship with a bank, absolutely. And banks from time to time, based on those relationships, will do things they won't do for average people walking in the door. But you are not sending $500,000 wire without the owner of that account blessing your ability to send that money. And that's where Otani's in a bad spot.
That is Craig Carton, who went to jail for gambling, did something on, I think it was HBO on how he was his top morning show host with Boomer Esiason at WFAN, addicted to gambling, doing all types of crazy stuff that you can imagine. So now Shohei Ohtani, the best player in all of sports, if you think about it, and highest paid, $700 million. He's a billion-dollar player, $700 million. He's taken a very small portion of that, kind of works to his strength right now in this case. Well, it turns out his interpreter, speaks very little English, has been fired because, as he said, he took money from his friend, Ohtani, without him knowing it, he says. And he gambled it illegally because it's illegal to gamble in California. with Matt Boyer. Matt Boyer had his establishment raided, and Otani's name is on all this stuff. And his interpreter seems to say, you know what, I falsified some wires, I got some money, I lost $4.5 million, and I need him to pay it back. And then it looks like he's going to pay it back. And then they say, finally, he stole it. Instead of borrowed it and was just in debt for it, now he says he stole it. There's something about this case that just does not add up. Pete, this is a really big deal, don't you think? Oh, he's cutting audio. No problem. You think it's a big deal, Eric?
Oh, yeah, potentially could be.
I mean, you're talking about the best player, the face of baseball. I mean, the most famous face of baseball is Pete Rose. But Pete Rose was a manager, was a player manager, but he was pretty much a manager. He was done. And then the allegation was he bet on baseball. But he said, I never bet on baseball. I bet on other things. Well, then he goes, yeah, I bet on baseball. Well, that's why the guy with more hits than anybody else is not in the Hall of Fame. And it's been a saga going on forever. Now, over the last few years, they've legalized sports betting, but not in California. And this player, Otani, was in with the Angels. He decides as a free agent to sign with the Dodgers. And now his 39-year-old interpreter, they do everything together, wants us to believe, and I'm just going to put it out there, wants us to believe that he took this money without him knowing it, I guess forged his signature on a wire, walked into the bank, because it turns out these are wire transfers, walked into the bank, and in the series of transfers, gives this guy to Matt Boyer, and then Boyer gets his place raided, and turns out, what are you doing here with these famous persons' betting stub, essentially? This is panic time for baseball. The face of the game in the prime of his career, pitcher, outfielder, the best at both, highest contract in the history of the sports. He can never be the face of the sport like Jordan can. Mike Trout could, but Mike Trout can't win anything with the Angels because he doesn't speak English, in my view, and he just doesn't make himself available. To me, the biggest player in sports, not only you do it on the field, at least you got to show up for interviews, make some appearances. And I just don't see that, even though he's going to make a huge impact on the field. This is a terrible situation. But it also is part of the complexity of gambling in sports at the highest level. I'm reading other stories. Indiana Pacers star Tyrese Haliburton told reporters that he has to go see a sports psychologist, in part with the pressure he receives from gamblers over social media. To this world, I'm just sitting there making money for people on DraftKings. The coach of the Cleveland Cavaliers says he's been screamed at the sidelines up by 10 to cover the spread. He's been threatened at home. Other people making allegations that the refs are betting on the game. This is a problem.
From high atop Fox News headquarters in New York City, always seeking solutions, never sowing division. It's Brian Kilmeade.
Welcome to the latest moments of the Brian Kilmeade Show. I am back from Richmond, Virginia. WRVA was just great being there. Thanks to everybody who came out for Politics and Pints and then going to Charlottesville right after a meeting, 200 more great people. It was just fantastic. Thanks to everyone who made that great stop in Virginia so special, and also Governor Youngkin for coming out yesterday. Think about what Virginia is going to mean, just like Maryland. A lot of people think that Trump should spend some time there because he might be able to see if he can move those numbers just a little bit, especially the Hispanic vote and the military vote. The Hispanic vote is going towards Trump, and it's stunning people. Julie Banderas on that in 10 minutes. And then Jake Steinfeld trying to get America in shape, number one. And number two, he has done for 49 states something extraordinary. Got big business to put fitness equipment in every single state schools, into middle schools. And they've gotten governors to show up everywhere. Guess what is the one state that will not answer his call or return his text messages? Not Cuomo, not Hochul, New York. He's going to talk about it because it's a great accomplishment. And also, you're going to hear about JFK and what it all means. So let's get to the big three.
Now, with the stories you need to know, it's Brian's Big Three.
Number three.
You're the reason why, in large part, I beat Donald Trump.
Let's beat him again.
Well, you know, I need you. I need you badly. I need the help. Kamala and I desperately need your help.
Yeah, there we go. 2024, Biden is literally begging the media to check the polls that he's winning. Mr. President, we did. You're not. Trump is winning in battleground states and winning over the Hispanics, which for Democrats means time to panic.
Number two.
If the New York Attorney General starts to take his homes away, starts to seize his assets, you're going to create the greatest victimhood of 2024, and you're going to elect Donald Trump.
That is Frank Luntz, desperate that Trump did not win, but he's a great analyst pollster. And he says Tish James is eyeing Trump properties right now as the former president scrambles to get this fine and this bond of $450 million by Monday. Or is he? There's a sense he might be doing the Seinfeld defense, and that is nothing, because it's the appeals judge's hands. But America's judgment is what matters, and America could tell a witch hunt. And unfairness when they see it, because they feel it. And this will back up all the complaints Trump has registered.
Number one.
I mean, right now, this happened earlier this morning in El Paso. Approximately 600 illegal immigrants that actually contributed to breaching those physical barriers and getting across unlawfully. Complete disrespect for our laws in Texas. Complete disrespect for the sovereignty of our state.
I'll tell you, you got to see this scene if you haven't seen it on Fox yet. In El Paso, hundreds of illegal aliens ran over the Texas National Guard, only to be stopped temporarily by our Border Patrol with a bigger fence, but they just threw them aside and rushed forward. It looks like a third world country. It looks like Haiti instead, or Hades. It looks like total unrest, but it's happening in our country. This is why Democrats, who are trailing by 30 points in the polls across the board when it comes to border security, they're panicking. They're trying to get something together. They know the Senate bill is dead. The president wants to lean on that. I think that ship has sailed. So when you see this video, as much as you have seen so far, this will really unnerve you. Also important, and I want to bring this soundbite back. This is Jason Owens. He was appointed by this administration's Border Patrol chief. The last one came out and said, I'm not getting support under these rules. The border is falling apart. The new guy was supposed to march with Mayorkas, but he can't, because he has to look at his men and women in the face and say, I got your back, and he can't do that. Listen to Jason Owens with CBS Cut One.
Everything revolves around being able to deliver a consequence for an action that you don't want a person to commit. If people know that there's going to be a consequence for breaking the law, they're going to be less likely to do it. The other piece of that is you need the agents out on patrol to be able to enforce that consequence. I'm talking about jail time. I'm talking about being removed from the country. And I'm talking about being banned from being able to come back because you chose to come in the illegal way instead of the established lawful pathways that we set for you.
And that's why they passed in Texas SR4. They said, if you come across illegally, you're under arrest. The only way to not go under arrest, if you're not a felon when you do your background check, is to go back home. And that's what passed. The Supreme Court said you could put it in play while we debate it. A New Orleans regional court said, no, you can't. So now they're debating it in oral arguments. And when SR4 goes into play, Texas will be able to throw people out themselves. Jason Owens is basically saying to the president, to Mayorkas, I can't do my job because you don't have any consequences with these people. And I feel almost like the BP oil spill. Do you remember that when Obama first took over? They would just have a camera on the oil spill, and all you saw was the oil pouring out. To me, I think about this all the time. How many people are coming across, what they're doing to our system, how many tax dollars are going to be going there with $36 trillion in debt. Now, I know some of these people are great people. They just want a fresh start. I know there's people in El Salvador is doing great, in Guatemala, in Nicaragua, in Venezuela, in Cuba, great people. Will he work hard and take any job and make America a better place? But there's a process for doing it. And if people treat you differently here, I think we got past that. When the Italians first came over and, the Polish first came over. Every first group that comes over had a hard time. The Irish, certainly, for a while. Nobody had it worse than the blacks who were taken here against their will, in many cases, for at least a couple of generations. Having said all that, we've gotten past it. We got to make it easier to come here legally. We got to make it almost impossible to get here illegally. And we're not close to that. And what I saw yesterday was absolutely horrific. And to see our people overwhelmed or in camouflage at our own border, if you didn't think we were being invaded, now you know for sure we are. Here's Mark Penn. Mark Penn is a Clinton. He wants Joe Biden to win, but he's fair. And he wanted Bill Clinton to win, and Hillary Clinton never liked him. But he liked Bill Clinton. Cut nine.
His lowest ratings right now are on immigration, which didn't matter much during most of that 3 years. But now that it's shot up to be the top issue of the country, he's got to do a better job addressing it. He's got to really both show compassion to people like DACA recipients, but most importantly, do something about what most voters think is an open border.
Right.
I don't think he has any choice. It's the absolute key to what he's got to do to try to get back here to even. He's just losing by Donald Trump by a few points, and immigration is that number one issue. He's got to address inflation, got to address crime, education. Sure, he's got core issues like abortion and climate change, but we know those. Rally the base at the end. Go for swing voters now.
And he's also giving away money by forgiving loans he has no business doing. I hope people know they're being pandered to. All right, so what did it mean? What exactly happened? Why did yesterday make it so bad? Well, Jenny Teer was out there for the New York Post. This is what she said happened. She gave us the exclusive video. Cut 10.
These people were processed by Border Patrol. Border Patrol took them into custody and charged them with the same thing they charge people that they release into the country with court dates. That's what they did for them. And this is the consequence that they received for this. And migrants all across the world get that message, including the Ibarra brothers who came through El Paso just like these individuals did, were processed by Border Patrol, were released into the country with court dates. And this is what happened. We saw the result of that, the tragic murder of Lake and Riley in Georgia. And that's just one instance.
So she couldn't believe it after. And it's so hard to describe it, but maybe you'll see the video of just what Fox for maybe a half hour. We'll see it at least once. Nobody was charged. That was the point. So hundreds of people got through and they got ankle bracelets or they got messages to appear in 6 years. So you can run through or over a National Guards member. You could cut away Constantino wire. You could go flying into a wall and then have that door open and be processed and get in. And everyone saw that. And know what all they heard? They heard, we got in anyway. So if you are Border Patrol tomorrow, if someone's going to say, excuse me, you want me to stop? Screw that. I'm walking straight ahead. One person was arrested. Cut 11.
Another instance is a few days ago. You had a man who admitted that he was a Hezbollah terrorist, and we confirmed that he is on the terror watch list. He told health personnel at the Border Patrol facility here that he was intending to make a bomb. He was also charged with the same thing these migrants who are processed and released are charged with. And he could have been released had he not self-admitted that he was a terrorist, because it took more than 6 days to get his terror watch list confirmation from Border Patrol.
So forgive me for being a little selfish, but knowing that this guy came across, member of Hezbollah from Lebanon, and said my goal was to make a bomb and blow it up in New York, excuse me if it kind of gets my attention, because we're at 48th and 6th. And I'm sure most terrorists would say, hey, where do we find Fox? Could you point me there? It's an island, believe me. All right, when we come back, Julie Banderas and I are going to talk about the latest with the Trump trial. And what Frank Luntz had to say is so on the money that Kevin O'Leary's been saying, that other business people have been echoing, that when you go after Trump and his business for no reason, and then have him guilty before a trial, and then before he can get an appeal after a ridiculously high verdict of owing $450 million, you say, put up a bond and we're taking your stuff, you will help him become president of the United States. That's what I believe. Julie Medeiros will be here. I'm sure she'll agree to it to a degree, and she's going to be outnumbered later. Keep in mind, too, One Nation coming up at 9 o'clock on Saturday night. I know you're busy. Date early. Come home early. And amongst our guests would be Ashley Merchant. She's a fantastic attorney that blew up the whole Fannie Willis case by doing some great investigation and finding out how compromised and how unethical these two were in Georgia. Don't move.
Politics, current events, and news that affects you. Brian's got a lot more to say. Stay with Brian Kilmeade. If you're interested in it, Brian's talking about it. You're with Brian Kilmeade.
I want you to remember this moment, and don't forget it. If the New York Attorney General starts to take his homes away, starts to seize his assets. It's all going to be on camera. Pundits are going to sit there and scream about this. This man cannot be elected. You're going to create the greatest victimhood of 2024, and you're going to elect Donald Trump. If they take his stuff, he's going to say that this is proof that the federal government and the establishment and the swamp in Washington and all the politicians across the country and the attorneys generals and all of this, that this is a conspiracy to deny him the presidency. He's going to go up in the polls just like he went up every single time they indicted him.
So that is Frank Luntz telling CNN something they did not want to hear. They were reveling in the fact that Donald Trump was losing property. But the thing is, it's not you found out that Donald Trump didn't have as much money as he had. You put him through a trial that he should never have been through. You found him guilty before he started and gave him the maximum penalty. And when he went to appeal, you said, put it up in a week or 1 month, all the money that nobody's liquid for, even at that level. You shouldn't be keeping money when we're at zero interest rate environment. You shouldn't be keeping cash around anyway. And now they are reveling in it. The problem is, Julie Banderas, and it's always great to see you, is that the American people see the unfairness. And I don't think that the Trump haters understand that.
No, they don't. And they have
to. And I'm not talking
about
Trump lovers. Trump lovers love him anyway.
Yeah,
they're like the in-betweens.
Well, and it's going to make them love him even more. And he's absolutely right. I mean, if this ends up happening, his support is only going to gain in strength. But, I mean, talk about playing politics. I mean, obviously they're trying to prevent him from getting back into the White House. But this not only is going to empower his base, but it's going to make it even that much more obvious that their intentions are to prevent him from succeeding. Making him come up with $464 million in such a short period of time is unreal. When's the last time that you remember, honestly, anybody being awarded $464 million in a case?
In Westchester County.
In a single person, not a corporation.
So in Westchester County, they're already making petitions to maybe take the property. And one of the reasons is, it takes so long. So she is poised. She already pre-thought this. So she's Trump Tower, 40 Wall Street, perhaps.
The golf course.
Yeah, the in Westchester, the golf course.
The estate.
So the Manhattan District Attorney said this. Enough is enough. These tactics by the defendant and defense counsel should be stopped. Should be stopped. They say that $400 million is not possible. No bond company will lend it. Only 30 are capable of doing it. What do you mean should be stopped? It's already waiting on appeal. So they're asking a five-panel judge group to decide if he could get a lower rate than that for a bond.
I mean, $500 million? Of course it's going to take him time. And no, insurance companies don't want to put their money where their mouth is when it comes to this. This is $500 million. We're not just talking about tens of millions of dollars here. $500 million. I don't know the last time somebody had to pay a bond that huge.
Right. So we're going to see what Letitia James is going to do. But she took the initial step to seize the property in Westchester.
Mm-hmm.
She also registered the judgment on March 6th, according to the Westchester County online database. So she wants to move expeditiously. Frank Luntz coming out saying this. He goes, these optics are absolutely terrible. What I also think is terrible, Letitia James taunting through X, and also the president of the United States joking about it at his fundraiser. I thought he was supposed to be separating himself from this. I thought he was supposed to be above this.
He's not above it. All he does is bash the former president. That's his only thing he's got to talk about, because he certainly can't be boasting about his presidency and all his accomplishments, right? So what's better than to, rather than ignore his own problems, and he's going to ignore the crisis at the border, he's going to ignore our economy, he's going to ignore inflation, and he's going to turn his eye toward President Trump. And President Trump, former President Trump, has more support than he's ever going to have. And if they go after his and seize his assets, he's going to be even more backed.
So here's the joke he said yesterday. I know not everyone is feeling enthusiasm for the economy.
Mm-hmm.
The other day, a defeated looking man came up to me and said, Mr. President, I'm being crushed by debt. I'm completely wiped out. I had to say, I'm sorry, Donald. I can't help you. Okay.
Okay. He's not looking for any handouts from Biden. And the other thing that is irking to me is that the Democrats are all saying, oh, where are all your Republican support base now? You know, why aren't they putting money in your pockets to be able to pay this? I mean, there's a lot of GoFundMe out there, which is really sad that people actually think they can raise this kind of money. But his supporters don't have that kind of money, because he actually appeals to middle America, the same voters that Biden seems to think he has in his back pocket.
So there was 5 five polls. The president came out and said, I'm winning in five polls. The media doesn't want to report it.
Right.
So our people took a look at the five polls. Four could not pass our criteria. Reuters did. It has him up 39-38 with 12% saying they don't know. Those for registered voters. For overall voters, Trump's up by two. But where seven states in this Reuters poll, seven battleground states, Trump is winning in every single one of them by an average of 40-37. You're talking about even Michigan,
yep.
Pennsylvania, Georgia, and Arizona. He's up in these states. So no bounce from the State of the Union. And no matter what is going on in the court filings,
right.
it's not hurting him.
Yeah. And that State of the Union address, by the way, was just praised by Democrats left and right. I mean, they thought it was the most amazing speech ever. I personally thought he was on speed. But nonetheless, I don't think he was actually on speed, but he was certainly on something because, I mean, I've never seen that president have more energy in my entire life.
I know.
But, I mean, if you see that these battleground states are starting to fall in the favor of Trump, why do you think Letitia James is now trying to speed this up? Because she thinks that this is going to somehow slow him down. There's no slowing him down. As history has proven, every single time that an indictment got slapped at him, any time that anyone tried to accuse him of anything, what happens? His base rose, and they will continue to rise. And that's going to happen right through the election.
All right, we come back. I'm going to talk about one of the things that Julia has not done, illegally gambled. Is that correct?
No comment? I hate gambling.
Good.
I was just thinking about illegal activities I've committed, and I had to go through the list.
Yeah.
Radio that makes you think. This is the Brian Kilmeade Show.
So the interpreter is the sole gambler here, and I find it hard to buy that, but let's go with it. And you're $500,000 in the hole, or $3 or $4 or $5 million in the hole. What's the next bet I'm going to make? Well, heck, I know that Mookie Betts isn't playing tomorrow night. Yeah. I know that Ohtani's elbow's bothering him. I'm naturally going to bet on baseball because I know that the best. And beyond that, I'm going to bet on a Dodgers game because I got all the information that isn't public. So it's a very huge leap of faith for you to ask somebody to believe that I bet myself into a $5 million hole and never bet on baseball to get out of it. I don't accept that, and I live the life.
So Shohei Ohtani, the best athlete maybe in the world, pitcher and hitter, which I've never thought I'd see in my lifetime, first one really since Babe Ruth. Ends up getting $700 million at basically a year. And he's taking a very small salary in order to not kill the salary cap. Well, it turns out his Japanese interpreter has been, according to the report, if we're to believe it, betting to the tune of losing $4.5 million. But he's doing it through an illegal bookie operation because California does not have legal sports gambling. And now the baseball is looking potentially at the biggest scandal since Pete Rose, because as Craig Carton just talked about, now at Fox, he went to jail for gambling, used to be with Boomer and Carton in the morning on WFAN, and he's come back and he's just helping people. He was addicted to gambling. He does not like the way this sounds. He says there's no way this adds up, that this guy was able to go to a bank, get a wire, say, yeah, Ohtani, I'm his interpreter. Can you give me $1 million of his money? I'd like to wire it to a bookie. He's saying there's no way that adds up. Even if you have a relationship with a bank, when you do it through a wire, the ID that's necessary and the verifications and people on the hook. So after losing $4.5 million initially, this is the story they're going with. That means his interpreter goes to jail. Mm. So on the surface, what are you believing on
this? I want
this?
Somebody to accidentally wire me millions of dollars. How do you access that kind of money?
No bank would do that.
Yeah, but that...
That makes me think the story is not adding up.
No.
That maybe it's Ohtani that's betting. He says, I only bet on soccer and basketball.
Yeah, there's no way that money would have ended up in his hands without the receiver or the recipient or the Ohtani being the one that actually transferred the funds over to him. That's impossible.
It's
traceable, too. Why is this even up for debate?
Well, it's up to this guy to say, I impersonated him and I forged his name and I'm guilty. But there's a sense here that he's blocking for the richest best athlete in sports.
It sounds more like that's the scenario.
I can't wait to see how this turns out. Meanwhile, they're coming back from Japan now. They opened up overseas. They're going to come back, and the baseball has finally started. But
meanwhile,
they start with
$700 million. Can we just talk about that salary? That's ridiculous. I mean, these athletes are way overpaid.
Well, I don't know. They wouldn't have done it if the Dodgers didn't have it. And they weren't able to have a worldwide marketing scheme around him. He now becomes a global product, and that apparel and things around that and the sales. They did the math. I think other teams would have paid it. We'll see. A couple other things.
Yeah.
Will we discuss when we go into break? We were just discussing.
Breaking the law? Illegal yes. activities?
Guess who's back?
Gambling?
Blasey Ford is back.
Yep.
The accuser of Justice Kavanaugh.
Yes.
Suddenly, no one's interested in Bob Alinsky and what Hunter's up to. Blasey Ford talking about what really happened in high school
right.
with the Supreme Court justice. And guess what? Listen to this, her interview on The View.
So there were probably 10% men. So we had bins called male. So that's where we would put the male.
What you need to understand is that they have to step up and help us. Mm-hmm. We can't do this ourselves. I noticed that a lot. I watched while people were clapping. Some of the men did not clap in this audience.
Because no one believes her, number one. I don't believe that this happened, whatever happened in high school. You remember she came forward. Now she wants to write a book. She gets prime time in The View, and everyone's supposed to believe her.
Yeah. And first of all, for her to point out how cringy and uncomfortable was that, pointing out that the men in the room, why would they be clapping anyway? Why would anybody be clapping in the audience, period, whether they're male or female? That makes no sense. The View is so annoying, and they are just constantly trying to jam like some sort of ideology down their viewers' throats, and they're buying into this woman's story. I mean, I think she was properly vetted. I mean, they would not have, appointed a Supreme Court justice without properly vetting these accusations with witnesses and so forth.
Yeah, we all went through it. Martha McCallum was great enough to do the interview with Kavanaugh. Did a great job where he finally stuck up for himself. He ends up getting in.
Yeah.
But would you do, if I'm a lawyer and I aspire to the Supreme Court, I just put that dream on the sideline. After seeing what these guys and these women go through by the end of the time, because so much is at stake, and him, Kavanaugh especially, he still was being attacked all summer and the Roe v. Wade verdict and everything around that.
Well, and the fact that it had on his family. I mean, he's got kids and a wife, and he's got a family and children that are now going to be scarred by this for the rest of their lives. I mean, they will never, ever live a day where this doesn't possibly somehow come up in their futures.
When can we see you again on the channel?
Oh, I'm going to be on at 11, which is in 20 minutes from now.
You're going to be?
Harris Faulkner Focus. I am going to be doing the 11 a.m. hour till 12 noon.
Thanks for having us on Monday.
Yeah.
The simulcast.
I know. Oh, that was so fun. I got very excited. I love when you stand for that.
What, you do?
Yeah, right, well, because you like to stand. He likes to stand. I prefer that you stand.
Right. Yeah. Unfortunately, I don't give you that option.
All right, I'm going to stand, too. It.
So coming up next, the only guy who's in better shape than me in the country, Jake Steinfeld.
Wait, there is such a thing?
Right, yeah.
Stop it.
According to reports.
Yeah, that's BS.
We're going to have a pose off in just a moment, but not to be seen. It's radio.
Are you guys taking your shirts off?
Probably.
Should I skip
on
the
radio,
Faulkner
if
Focus?
The question is.
I'm just going to skip the show.
If you take your, he says yes, shirts are off. He
oh,
was.
God, he's getting naked in the control room. That is so awkward for you guys in there. I'm
By the
so
way,
sorry.
Jake Steinfeld, a natural bodybuilder, refused to do steroids. I have embraced the steroid era.
Right. Well, really? That's really sad. They're not working. Well, I'm sorry.
As good as expected. All right. Coming up next, Jake Steinfeld with a great announcement, how New York has let this country down again. Also, he's got a brand new Broadway play, and he might be auditioning. So this might be a good thing. Julie, you're looking for extra money.
He could be the naked cowboy now. Look at him.
Right.
Okay.
By the way, when the naked cowboy's out, there's nobody to replace him. I'll talk to Jake about this.
Oh, okay, good.
All right. How many sick days does the naked cowboy get?
I don't think he takes any.
Oh, you don't?
No, I think he works year-round.
Is it embarrassing when the naked cowboy screams out your name because he knows you?
He's screamed out your name?
Sad.
Okay. I wish we had more time to unpack that. Why does he know your name?
Top of the hour.
Okay.
The Faulkner Focus. We'll have Julie Banderas.
All right.
Thanks, Julie.
See you then. Bye-bye.
Educating, entertaining, enlightening. You're with Brian Kilmeade. Breaking news, unique opinions. Hear it all on the Brian Kilmeade Show.
Hey, welcome back, everyone. It's my privilege to bring you my good friend Jake Steinfeld, Body by Jake, best known for, chairman of the National Foundation for Governors Fitness Councils. So when Governor Schwarzenegger gave Jake a job, they didn't realize, as much as he knew you, Jake, he probably didn't fully understand how you were going to embrace this job. And when he left office, you were just getting started.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah. First of all, Bri, great to see you. As always, man, I heard the last segment. I got the body oil.
Have the body oil?
I do.
Because I forgot mine.
I carry it with me. I have some extra.
And we're referring to the fact that we were thinking about a pose down.
We're doing a pose down. We just get a pump real quick and get the biceps and pecs ready to roll.
I know you always have this image and vision, but there's a reason why bodybuilding didn't take off on radio.
I know.
Right?
So people who are driving in their car right now are sliding off the road, even though it's gorgeous outside. I go, what are those two animals talking about?
Right, absolutely. So we were just kidding. Jake was a natural bodybuilder. One of the things you would not do is the steroids.
I was afraid. You know my story. I mean, I went out to Los Angeles with a dream to become Mr. America, and I read all the magazines. Everybody said, eat 18 eggs and 24 chickens a day, and you too could become Mr. America. I clucked a lot, but it never happened because no one, I'm talking summer 77, 78, when I got there, when the dinosaurs still roamed the earth, Arnold and Lou Ferrigno, all the big guys, no one talked about steroids. I was afraid to put a needle in my own buttissimo, and fortunately for me, I made a decision, as we talk about with our kids, about making decisions. And
you went natural.
I love working out, love what it did for me. And I became the first guy to do personal fitness training and made it an occupation, which, by the way, I just did it. There's a story coming out in Men's Health next month. It's the 40-year anniversary of Temple of Doom. And I trained Harrison Ford for that for that movie. And I went through the whole workout. And it was really fun, sort of reminiscent. And Harrison
has been a
great pal to me and a great friend throughout all these years. And the consummate movie star, right? I mean, if you look at – you Google movie star H. Ford.
I mean, the story is that he was a carpenter, right? He was building sets.
That's the thing, man. And if you think about life, if you go right, you become a carpenter. You go left, you become Harrison Ford. Life is about moments. And all of us have those opportunities, those moments in our life, if you think about where you could have gone if you would have fill in the blank. Right. And H's story is a great one. It's been incredibly inspirational. All these guys who I was able to train at a very young age, 19, 20, 21. I come from here. You and I in the same neighborhood.
Levittown, Massapequa.
Baldwin.
Baldwin. My fault.
Baldwin, yeah. Right.
I'm thinking of Bella Riley.
Yeah. But and now I'm hanging with these folks and I find out an incredible thing. They're just like us. The only difference is they had a dream, never quit on their dream, and never took no for an answer. And that gave me all the incentive in the world to say to myself, wait a second, I might never direct E.T. too, but I'll have my own success in life. And I was able to parlay that famous by association into, as you know and the audience knows, you guys have been doing Fox and Friends, as you know, for 24 years, man.
Whether you're starting Major League Lacrosse or you start your own fitness program channel. Fit TV,
which, you know, I sold to your boss, man.
Right.
I
remember I chipped in a little.
You did.
Right.
You did chip in.
I did. Not many people talk about that. Yes.
I saw your check, $167.
Right. That was about it. That's all I could afford at that time.
And a couple of tuna sandwiches.
So you did this other thing, as I mentioned, with the putting these gyms into schools, these fitness facilities into schools. You did it. Your goal was to get in every state.
All 50 states.
Schwarzenegger's gone, but you're not stopping.
Right.
You get corporations involved.
Yes.
And you find the schools through the governors that need it the most. And you'll come down and you'll unveil their fitness center.
Yes.
Because you know one of the things plaguing this country is the next generation, maybe through no fault of their own, is not in shape.
Well, listen, Bri, and you hit it right there. We both saw the John Kennedy little video.
I'm going to play that when you're ready.
Okay, great. Where he talks about, well, listen, this next generation, we need to leave this country better for our kids than we have gotten it, okay? And as you know, I travel the country. Let me just reset for a second. So I served with Arnold when he was governor, chair of the Fitness Council in California, with Jerry Brown for a year. This isn't a Democrat or Republican issue. It's a kids issue, right? I got into this position of chair of the National Foundation for Governors Fitness Councils, and I made a simple directive. I wanted to have one simple mission. I wanted to put as many $100,000 Don't Quit Fitness Centers in as many elementary and middle schools in this great country of ours. I say elementary and middle because kids are still in that Gumby-ish stage where this change can happen. And when you put a fitness center in a school, it's amazing to see what happens. And I've done this now 46 states with 46 governors, right? And I made a promise to myself, a commitment to myself, that I wanted to get all 50 states. I wanted to travel the country, and it's awesome. Because we go to places, Bri, where nobody goes. And I've been with governors across this great
nation.
All you
do is contact the governors, and the governors get right back to you, right?
I call governors cold. This is what happens. I call Governor Bryant cold. I've got three brand-new $100,000 Don't Quit Fitness Centers as a gift to the state. We've done our homework on you, Gov, and we know you're a family guy. You're pro-education, pro-community. You love this country. You're my kind of guy. I've got three brand-new – now, by the way, this is a gift, not a grant. A lot of your audience knows this. But a gift is what your moms and dads and grandmas and grandpas give you. Grants are government things. This is a gift. I give you the keys to the car. It's your car.
And when do we get the video of you actually doing this and seeing, like, when there's presentations? You made it really exciting for the kids. It's a big assembly for
them. We do a whole thing. So I call the governor cold. We do a joint press release together. All I need to do is get you on the horn. And the majority of these governors, as I would say, all these governors have gotten to me in less than 36 hours.
Even Alaska?
Alaska, Mike Dunleavy in Alaska. Great guy from Scranton, Pennsylvania, 6'7". I just spoke to him on the horn. Really nice guy.
Now, is it 49 states?
I've done 46 in person, and now this is the last spin at the wheel. We're doing Nevada with Joe Lombardo. Joe, incredible guy, great dude. Spoke to him on the phone. He was great. Whatever you need, Jake, we're here for you. And all I asked the governor to do is we do a joint press release and come to at least – one ribbon cutting in October.
That's it.
That's all. And you don't have to come to all three. Most governors come to all three. And it's all – it's a pep rally
now,
is what it is.
Yeah, and you've told me this, and it's killing you because you're a New Yorker. You couldn't get Cuomo on the phone.
Yeah.
You can't get Governor Hochul's attention. You're looking – listen, we know Brentwood. We know these great athletes in Brentwood have no facilities.
Right. Right.
We know these rundown – some of these communities really could use some help. And – so many schools would benefit from this, but you can't get the governor to pick up the phone or answer a text message.
Well, the interesting thing is this, is that this is all about kids.
Right.
And we don't, you know, I don't quit, and I don't take no for an answer.
So you're going to get, you think Hochul will eventually answer you?
Well, you know what, and if she does, great. You know, here's the thing. I love this country. This is my home state. I've done 49 states. I'm doing New York. I decided we're going to do it with Governor Gary Bettman, who is not the governor, but Commissioner Gary Bettman of the NHL, who's an awesome guy. He and I have been pals for a while. And
Where are you doing it? School?
No. Here's the thing. We do a contest. So I really don't need – we're funded through Coca-Cola, Nike, and Anthem, okay? We have all the funding. It's all great. As I said, no government funding, no taxpayer funding. This is more for the PR. I want to make you look great, Governor.
But what schools in New York are you going to be doing?
We don't know yet. Okay. The contest is on right now, which is why I wanted to come on. Because what I want, if everyone is listening right now, okay, wherever you are, I want you to go to natgovfit.org. That's natgovfit.org. And you'll fill out a little application, and we want you to send us a video. Tell us why. Teachers, kids, put a video together. Tell us why your school, elementary or middle, deserves a brand new $100,000 Don't Quit Fitness Center. Here's what happens. Okay. The contest is going to end in 2 weeks. So it's natgovfit.org. So I'm sure people will be able to find this on the radio show. You'll be able to tell folks again after I'm gone. And we'll accumulate all these applications. We'll choose the three schools, in May. And I'll announce the winners in June, and then we do the installations in August. And come this October, we travel the country. So we're going to go to Alaska, Hawaii, Nevada, and I'm saving New York for last because it's my home state.
Right.
And we're going to do it hopefully with you guys and Fox and friends.
Well, I'm glad Gary Bettman's stepping up. He's a great guy. But it is a shame that the governor is not answering the call because this is a great PR for them. You don't want to get in front of a bunch of middle schoolers and their parents and say, look what I've been able to deliver for you. Because, you know, they take credit, right? They'll take credit for it. And they got the video. You got to see this video that you have online. You'll send it to me once in a while. The kids just love it.
And I remember when
I was old enough to go into Berner High School and be able to use their equipment on the weekends because I got into seventh grade.
Berner High School, I had 17 points against Berner.
Did you really?
Yep. I had 17 points my senior year in Baldwin. 17.
Well, that was a high school then. Now it's a junior high.
So if
they get a video together, they could be the school.
They absolutely can. And that's the beautiful thing. This is about kids. Look, our kids are our most precious resource. When our kids are strong, this nation will be strong.
Right.
And it's going to take a country of heroes, and it's people like – it's people who care, communities who care. And I've traveled this country, and I found the people who have the least – do the most.
All right. Jake Steinfeld, thanks so much. Always great to see you.
Great seeing you,
and
no
I
man.
Hope Massapequa wins.
Man, Official Body by Jake is my Instagram. Check it out.
Go get him, Jake. Keep it here. Brian Kilmeade Show.
From the Fox News radio studios in Midtown Manhattan, it's the fastest growing radio talk show. Brian Kilmeade.
Hi, everyone. Thanks so much for listening all week long. Everyone in Virginia, in Charlottesville, in Richmond, I was able to meet up the last few days. Good to be back here in New York, getting set to host One Nation. It'll be Saturday at 9 p.m. It's going to be a great show among my great guests, Ashley Merchant, John Walsh, and we're going to have a co-host quiz, find out about how two co-hosts really know each other. And this week we have picked Jesse Waters and Jessica Tarlov. It could be explosive. I have the sense that they don't know anything about each other at all. We'll see, though. I know they get along in great respect. So we'll do that, and I hope to see everyone that you're watching on Saturday night. So we have Keith O'Brien this hour. He's author of Charlie Hustle, The Rise and Fall of Pete Rose, and The Last Glory Days of Baseball, and one of our great guests, Mark Thiessen, Washington Post columnist. This week he said this: if Republicans can't deliver the aid to Ukraine, this would be the Republicans' version of the Afghanistan exit. And I know you guys don't want to hear it, but he's 100% right. And I'll have him expand on it from here on in. There's a few things we've been going over. First off, we know the series of polls in the battleground states, they're all going to Trump. Fox News poll has Trump up by 2 in North Carolina, 4 in Georgia, has him up over in Michigan. But yesterday, I thought it was unbelievable. And, you know, Trump gets accused of this all the time, maybe rightly so. He just, you know, he'll exaggerate. So yesterday, Joe Biden was asked about the polls. He said, well, let me just tell you, I know the media is okay, but they don't like to report that I'm winning in the last 5 polls. You will report anything you want, but that's not true. So Fox looks at these polls, these fly-by-night polls. The only one that got close to our standards, and, you know, Gallup and Fox, our high standard, CNN, Siena poll, they're all obviously our standards, is Reuters. Reuters, overall in the national poll, 39-38. Biden, 12% don't know or will not vote. But if you look overall by just voters, Trump's up by 4. All right. 7 states in the same poll. We're getting the average. We're the closest in 2020. Trump now leads Biden by 3 points among registered voters, too. All right. RFK with 15% of the vote. That's significant. So Joe Biden's making a decision. He's going to be a wrestler. He's going to sit there and mix it up and play Donald Trump's game of being a tough guy, calling him a loser. And I beat you by 7 million votes last time. In reality, it was just a few thousand votes in the battleground states. That's how they judge it. Don't tell me about the popular vote. It's like saying, you know, the Yankees played the Mets. The Mets won 4-3, but the Yankees had 20 hits and the Mets had 10. Doesn't matter. It's the final score. That's the Electoral College. So President Biden, knowing that Donald Trump's got just a few days to get a bond up for $430 million, said this about the economy in addressing one of his fundraisers. I know not everyone is feeling the enthusiasm for the economy. The other day, a defeated looking man came up to me and said, "Mr. President, I'm being crushed by debt. I'm completely wiped out." I had to say, "I'm sorry, Donald. I can't help you." And everyone laughed. Do you realize you have spent all this time trying to get people convinced that you had nothing to do with these court cases, that you're just there to run a country and run for re-election? Well, you're referring to a lot of it. And we know, and I'll talk to Ashley Merchant about this Saturday, basically they have proven through invoices that Georgia was meeting with White House counsel to get advice about how to run this case, maybe how to charge this case. Also, the vice president sat down with Fannie Willis. They said it was just a day for attorney generals to visit the vice president's house. Just one of those days? Just a coincidence? Don't think so. Multiple visits. And also, Fannie Willis would not say yes or no whether she met with Jack Smith, who's doing the January 6th prosecution and the documents prosecution. So why would he say something like that? Because Donald Trump knows he lost his civil case that says that he exaggerated the the worth of a lot of his buildings and golf courses and his properties. So therefore, they want $450 million. And they said the state has been robbed of that in taxes. Meanwhile, he's paid millions of dollars worth in taxes. But you know all the background. Let me bring you the latest. It looks like, according to reports, Donald Trump's getting closer and closer to having enough money to pay it. But so far, we're seeing an attorney general who is going ahead and measuring the drapes as if she's taking Trump Tower. She's already made moves to take in Westchester. And here is exactly what she said. And this happened in a couple of weeks ago. She's gone up because she wants to take the Westchester Country Club. And Letitia James has taken an initial step towards laying the groundwork for a possible seizure of the country club for $400 to help pay off the or place the $464 million bond in judgment as they wait for the appeals court. How great would it be if they do this on appeal, Trump wins and makes all this gloating and all this tweeting seem so stupid and political as we know it is? I'm trying to say, and you've been hearing this, and I know you believe this, most of you, that when you go after Donald Trump unjustly like Alvin Bragg did, when you decide to charge him on the documents case but not charge Hillary Clinton for smashing her server and smashing her BlackBerry and not complying when she took documents at State Department and used her personal devices for State Department work and you know everything with the emails and Anthony Weiner. When you do that and find out for 40 years, if you read the Hur report, that President Biden was taking classified documents and leaving them in the garage and in the basement in rotted boxes. And then you got to charge this president for making the same mistake they did. They see dual paths of justice. And that's why all these people are frustrated because it's in delay, because there is legal, there's legal venues to approach this. So because of that, people see two tiers of justice. So I thought this morning around 4:50, I was watching the repeat of Anderson Cooper show, or was ever filling in for Anderson Cooper. And they had Frank Luntz on. Frank Luntz has been on here before. He's a pollster. He does body language. He understands words. And he's looked at it for crisis management, too. And he is appalled about what's going on right now, but for the wrong reasons. I'm appalled because I want Trump to win. He's appalled because he thinks they're doing everything inadvertently to let Trump win. Cut 16.
I want you to remember this moment. And don't forget it, if the New York Attorney General starts to take his homes away, starts to seize his assets, it's all going to be on camera. Pundits are going to sit there and scream about this. This man cannot be elected. You're going to create the greatest victimhood of 2024, and you're going to elect Donald Trump. If they take his stuff, he's going to say that this is proof that the federal government and the establishment and the swamp in Washington and all the politicians across the country and the attorneys generals and all of this, that this is a conspiracy to deny him the presidency. He's going to go up in the polls just like he went up every single time they indicted him.
So do you understand? You have that. And then you have the performance of Joe Biden, whether it's at the border, internationally blowing things up. When you see that he has frozen all leases on natural gas drilling, fracking in Pennsylvania, in the country, in Texas, now being sued by 16 separate governors for doing this against national interest without going through the Department of Energy. You see that this guy is couldn't be more vulnerable. But possibly the biggest surprise is the Hispanic vote. And this stuck out with me. Harry Enten, his CNN's version of, I guess, Karl Rove. Oh, excuse me, CNN's version of what Bill Hemmer does, an analysis of what's going on with voters and districts. This is what he says he's seeing. Cut 22.
Look at where we are today in a Marquette University Law School poll that was put out last month. Look at that advantage that Joe Biden has on, that Donald Trump has on immigration and border security. It's near 30 points. This is a tremendous change that's going on. And it's no wonder that Donald Trump is running on immigration. And he's not just running on it in a Republican primary. He's running on in the general election. And I also think that's why there hasn't been quite the backlash that you might expect over Trump's comments, some of which that I, of course, wouldn't make. And it's because that voters at this particular point are quite concerned about immigration and they trust Donald Trump on this particular issue.
All right, Harry, this is where you're wrong. I'm sorry I have to be a Trump interpreter for you. Everything is right. The numbers don't lie. It's good that you bring it up because you're trying to alarm people to a degree. I don't know you. To alarm people to agree, you got to start taking some action. But Part of the reason why when Trump comes out and says when people come streaming into our country and they poison the blood of the country, he's not channeling Hitler. The guy doesn't spend much time reading. He doesn't love it. The guy's a visual guy. That's why they give him charts. His staff gives him charts to explain things. That's how he absorbs things. Everyone else, there's nothing wrong with that. You know, some people just want summaries. You know, some people, like Barack Obama, says, don't read me the threat assessment. Just leave it. Tell me the headline and leave it. I want to read it. He reads it. Everyone's different. His combination needs to see it visually. And he's not reading anything Hitler wrote. He's saying poison the blood because he sees guys with neck tattoos and gangsters coming into our country. He sees the murder of Reagan Riley. That's poison. When he says non-human, he's not talking about Hispanics. He's talking about criminals. He's talking about Venezuelan gangs. We know that because he doesn't come out and name the Venezuelan gang. Doesn't mean we don't know exactly what he means. That's why people don't overreact to it, because now we've been through it. We've known him since the 80s, watched him as a candidate since 2015. We don't listen to anchors get hysterical when he says something that they don't like. All right, when we come back, inside one of the biggest stories out there today in sports that's going to go beyond, and that is Shohei Ohtani, the best player maybe in all of sports, may be caught up in a massive gambling scandal. We'll bring you the details as we know it with Keith O'Brien, author of Charlie Hustle, The Rise and Fall of Pete Rose, and The Last Glory Days of Baseball.
It's Brian Kilmeade. The fastest 3 hours in radio. You're with Brian Kilmeade.
This story can't go away quickly because there's a federal investigation into the bookmaker, and now you've got the accusation of wire fraud and embezzlement and theft, so that's got to be investigated now. And the only way that this has an ending that doesn't end up with Shohei Ohtani being suspended by Major League Baseball would be that interpreter putting himself on 1,000 swords with the hope of a payday at somewhere down the line from Ohtani, saying, I forged his signature, I pretended I was him, I signed off on it, and I'm going to take the punishment that comes with wire fraud.
And that is Craig Carton, who obviously tells everybody he was addicted gambler, ended up in prison, bounced all the way back, started WFAN, now is doing stuff on Fox Sports. Really talented guy, but is very honest about his addiction. He knows the pattern. He knows the behavior. He actually has a show on Saturdays, Hello, My Name is Craig, and he talks about what he went through. He tries to help people. It's pretty compelling radio. Keith O'Brien joins us now, author of Charlie Hustle, The Rise and Fall of Pete Rose, and The Last Glory Days of Baseball. Keith, welcome.
Hey, thanks for having me, Brian.
Keith, so much has changed since Pete Rose was nailed in the 80s, and this saga's been going on. Now, sports gambling is legal. It's encouraged. It's talked about in almost every major sports network and beyond. It's in every paper, except for some states don't allow it. That was one of the states that don't allow it. Ohtani is the biggest name in sports, the biggest name in baseball, but the language barrier kept him from being a megastar. How big a story is this going to be?
I think, Brian, it is already the biggest gambling scandal since Pete Rose's fall in 1989. You know, I want to be clear. There is a ton that we don't know here about what happened. And anyone who is speculating with confidence about what happened simply does not know. However, the echoes here between what happened to Pete Rose in 1989 and what is unfolding now in Los Angeles are so loud. I mean, fans should probably cup their hands over their ears. You know, we have forgotten sort of who Pete Rose was, you know, in the last 35 years. And the fact is, in 1989, he was a Shohei-esque kind of star. He was known not just across the country, but around the world. He was, in many ways, the face of baseball, in the same way that Shohei Ohtani is the face of baseball now. And so, without question, in my opinion, Major League Baseball will have to conduct some kind of transparent investigation, whether that's the term or not, some kind of investigation into what has happened here, because when you're talking about alleged numbers of $4.5 million and alleged illegal bookmakers and wire transfers, you simply cannot ignore it.
Right. And what they're saying is, and I think the story has changed so many times, and he was overseas playing the first game. Now they're coming back. The friend said he was given the money to pay off gambling debts, and Ohtani gave it to him. And then it turns out he said, well, no, the money was taken from my account illegally without me knowing it and wired to this bookmaker, Matt Boyer, who got raided and they stumbled onto this Ohtani reference. So that's changed. So getting a wire for millions of dollars over the course of, he says, since 2021, 3 years, that means he had to go in and forge and lie? What banker is going to say, okay, you're the interpreter for Ohtani. How much do you need? A million? Good. And what bookie am I sending it to? I don't know any bank that would do that.
And all of these questions you just raised, all of these curious choices and changes of narrative are being investigated right now by reporters. Again, whether or not, you know, Major League Baseball is prepared or is already taking a serious look, reporters are. And, you know, credit to the reporters at the Los Angeles Times and ESPN and many others who were already sniffing into this story, which is how it leaked out in the first place. And, you know, if I was a reporter on this story, I'm going deep and I'm going long and I'm going until I get what I think is the truth. And I know I'm not alone there. Reporters right. are on this story and will do what they can to get to the truth.
As we get to this, is Pete Rose, from what you know, I know he cooperated with you in the book, but is he mounting an effort to get into the Hall of Fame or is he not wanted anymore?
Well, I should be clear. He cooperated for a while. I did do 27 hours of recorded interviews with Pete Rose before he stopped calling me back and ultimately shut down. So I am not in contact with him today. You know, I will say, you know, two things about that question. You know, on the one hand, you know, Pete does still feel wrongly excommunicated for the gambling. In his mind, he's apologized for it. In his mind, baseball should have moved on. You know, that apology that Pete has made, I think, over the years has been considered, you know, shallow or superficial and not what Americans like to hear. We want our fallen heroes to go on shows like yours, Brian, and cry and be emotional. And that's not who Pete is. So, you know, he does feel wronged, whether that's right or wrong. That's how he feels. This gambling allegation in Los Angeles is going to give him further fodder for that argument. But, you know, he, I think, is also realistic. When we were still talking, when I was still meeting with him, this was a man who had stopped trying to curry favor with the league anymore. He was, you know, going on gambling podcasts. He was taking appearance fees to open new casinos and new sports books. That is not the behavior of a man who is trying to win Rob Manfred's good graces.
Understood, too. But now it's so commonplace with the betting, you can't act like it's verboten anymore. Obviously, betting on baseball will never be okay. But it's to me, it's beginning to ruin the games. People care about lines. People care about how much money they're going to make. And we don't vote for teams. It's fantasy football. We vote for the people that we put on our roster in our own draft. It's really screwing up the games, but maybe I'm just living in a different era. Keith O'Brien, pick up his book, Charlie Hustle. Thanks, Keith.
Thank you, Brian.
All right, we come back. Mark Thiessen will be joining us. Don't move.
The talk show that's getting you talking. You're with Brian Kilmeade.
You're the reason why, in large part, I beat Donald Trump.
Let's beat him again.
Well, you know, I need you. I need you badly. I need the help. Kamala and I desperately need your help.
How desperate? He really is desperate. I mean, even if he loses by a couple of points, if he wins by a couple of points with the Hispanic vote, it'll change the electorate. And it's going to also talk about a new trend for the future and new game plans to win over a very diverse community. Mark Thiessen joins us now. speechwriter of George W. Bush, Fox News contributor, Washington Post columnist. Mark, I'm just also watching what's happening on Fox News right now. Anthony Blinken speaking live to the press amid what he's pushing for is a UN ceasefire, a vote and a declaration for the UN to force a ceasefire in the area. I don't know how a ceasefire could work if Hamas is still in power. They're having total schizophrenia with their policies here.
So the Biden administration is staffed by a bunch of PhDs in escalation theory. that's what they're worried about. It's all about escalation management. They're terrified of escalation in Ukraine that would anger Putin. They're terrified of escalation in the Middle East that would anger Iran, and so they self-deter in doing the things that need to be done. I mean, thank God Israel has a leader right now who understands that. And by the way, you know, even people who dislike Bibi politically, who would oppose him if there was an election, are backing this. I mean, there's no division in like there was no division in this country after 9/11. There's no division. There's no left or right anymore. It's all about destroying Hamas, everybody. And you can't have peace if Hamas remains in power. There's no chance. All the things that the Biden administration says they want, the only path to last, Hamas has made clear that they don't regret October 7th. The majority of the population of Gaza supports October 7th. And they will do it again and again and again until Israel is destroyed. Israel can't live and survive with Hamas having a capability to attack them again. So they have to destroy it. And the fact that the Biden administration doesn't understand that is not surprising, but deeply disappointing.
It's deeply disappointing. Also, they say, yeah, defeat Hamas, you can't do it. They also want us out of the region, and that'll be a huge mistake because that will essentially abandon Israel and push us out, and it'll give Iran the region.
Afghanistan and the rest of the Middle East.
You wrote about that today. Say if we leave Ukraine, this will be the Republicans' version of the Joe Biden exit from Afghanistan.
Yeah, we'll own it. I mean, look. Recall the images of the Taliban pouring into Kabul, Afghans fleeing for their lives, clinging to U.S. aircraft and falling from the sky as they tried to escape, and the disaster and the embarrassment that was, and the indelible stain that put on Joe Biden's reputation. I mean, keep in mind, Joe Biden had never fallen before 50% approval until the Afghan withdrawal. That was the moment the floor fell out of his approval rating. His approval collapsed not just on foreign policy, but on everything. Americans decided he was incompetent. Americans decided he was mentally unfit for the job. All those things happened because of the Afghan withdrawal. Now imagine what would happen to the reputation of the Republican Party if Putin began marching towards Kyiv. And Kyiv fell in the same way. And it probably wouldn't happen this year if the weapons were cut off. It would probably happen sometime next year when Donald Trump may very well be president. So it would happen on our watch, and we would own it the same way Biden has owned the Afghan withdrawal, and the consequences would be disastrous for the Republican Party politically, but for the United States across the world.
No doubt about it. I 100% agree with you, and I believe that Speaker Johnson gets it, and I hope he does the standalone bill and let Democrats vote for it. Listen, if he's going to pass this minibus, which is a pretty big bus, and he's going to do it with about 100 Republican votes in the House, I think he'd be willing to put a standalone bill for Ukraine. I would just do it. He understands the ramifications for it. He understands history like Lindsey Graham does, like Michael Waltz does. But they don't want to get behind the slow walking of weapons, these terrible policies, the lack of a lack of enunciation on a coherent plan there. They don't want to be the ones selling Joe Biden's plan, but they got to get the Ukrainians weapons to win.
So, you know, there's two things. There's three options on the table for Ukraine. Putin wins, Ukraine wins, or we do what Biden is doing, which is provide them enough weapons to not lose, but not enough weapons to win. Obviously, the best option would be to have a strategy for victory where we gave them everything they needed. We're not giving them long-range weapons. We're not giving them enough Abrams tanks. We're not giving them F-16 fighters, the things they need to truly defeat the Russians. But the better alternative is not to let Putin win.
Right.
You know, and so I'd rather have Ukraine not lose than for Putin to have a victory. I mean, if we don't give them the weapons, here's what's I can lay it out for you. Here's what's going to happen. You're going to see the Russian front line. Eventually, what's going to happen is they will. Right now, the Russians are held at bay by medium range missiles that we give them, the HIMARS. Right. If they run out of those missiles, the Russians will be able to go to attract the front lines. They will be able to come within range of that they've been held off at. If we run out of missile defense interceptors, the Russians will regain air superiority. They will be able to carpet bomb Ukrainian cities with missiles and with bombers. Right now, they have air defense systems that allow them to take out most of those missiles, so the Ukrainian cities are safe. If the Ukrainians will then have to divert whatever they have left to protecting the civilian populations, will leave the front lines exposed. The Russians will come pouring across the front lines. Then they will run out of those, and we will see mass bombing of Ukrainian cities the way the Russians bombed Aleppo in Syria, with mass casualties, massive refugee flows. The Russian forces will start piling across the border, and they'll start taking territory and marching toward Kyiv. And all this will start happening this year. It will culminate next year when Donald Trump is taking his oath of office, and the Russians will be on the will be approaching the outskirts of Kyiv right. when Trump is president. And then he will not be able to cut a deal, because why would what leverage will he have with Vladimir Putin to cut a peace deal if Putin's about to win the war?
Yeah, they deserve our support, and we should just follow every bullet to the front lines to make sure. It's getting to the right place. By the way, this just came across, and it's good news for Donald Trump. Trump media is merging, is approved, providing a fresh source of cash. On paper, Trump just got $3 billion. In about 6 months, he'd be able to take it out, and there could also be special dispensation from the board to get it now. So we'll see what he wants to do with it. But for people who said Truth Social was a joke and nobody cares about it, why are you doing it? It's name wrong. And now Truth Social, people are betting on he's going to become president, and the value will go through the roof because that's where he'll do his communication. So that's pretty amazing. Your thoughts?
This whole Letitia James thing is going to put him in the White House. I mean, you know, the best thing for him politically would be if she seized Trump Tower and was filmed herself going through the building and trying opening doors and trying to take it over. I mean, he obviously doesn't want
to get
Trump
Tower. Do you think someone's telling you that? Because I 100% agree.
Yeah, I mean, it's you know, she is going to make Donald Trump president because this is so outrageous. First of all, no victim in the crime. All the people who did business with Donald Trump said, yeah, we got repaid. Everything was great. We're very happy, blah, blah, blah. So there's a victimless crime. Nothing. No one was ever hurt. No one's ever been prosecuted for this. Then while he's appealing, they want to force him to do a fire sale on one of his buildings, which if he wins on appeal, it's irrecoverable. He can't get
the money
back.
Can you imagine this?
So
what country is this?
Can you imagine if on appeal he wins and then he's been damaged financially for the rest of his life? Is he gonna is Letitia James gonna sue her in civil court and have her return the $400 billion $400 million that he owes? I mean, it's such an outrage. It epitomizes all these legal cases for the most part. I mean, the classified information we can debate, but you know, for the most, when you take it collectively, 91 indictments. All the civil cases intentionally trying to bankrupt him. This no one has ever faced this kind of a right. legal lawfare onslaught in the history of our country, and it's going to put Donald Trump back in the White House.
So I looked at Politico today, and maybe you're not going to find this as amusing or as enlightening as I do. But I'm reading Politico, and they said about the Trump court cases. So I go, okay, I have a segment off. Let me just take 5 minutes and read this. Do you know what the whole angle was? Who blew the cases? And I'm thinking, what do you mean, who blew it? It's not over. He goes, why didn't Attorney General Merrick Garland start earlier with the cases and we wouldn't be in the place we're in? Excuse me? So the big problem was they didn't start the prosecution early enough? That's the issue? Instead of saying we got to get to justice and what's going to happen and let me tell you what it'll mean if he has to come off. The problem is, who told Merrick Garland to go so slow? So this is incredible for me how clueless people are.
Well, it's an admission that it's all political.
Yes.
I mean, if it doesn't matter, if it has nothing to do with Trump's election, and it's all about just, you know, justice like that, then the timing shouldn't matter. To take as long as they need to get the case right and to have the defendant have his rights.
But the analysis is also about even the analysis is about the execution that is pure political. But this is what
you saw after the Her thing. It was leaked that the White House was unhappy with Garland because he didn't protect Biden And if by yeah. not allowing the release of that of the report, and he's taking too long to prosecute Trump.
Yeah, it's incredible. Yeah, I mean, we'll find out. I'm fascinated about what's taking place right now because Mark, I know I'm not the orchestra of the media and tell people what to think. I get up in the morning. I never think that. Maybe I don't think you do either. But they're convinced that ABC, CBS, and CNN and MSNBC, what they say long enough, the American people will definitely agree on. And for him to give that State of the Union address and get no bump, for them to indict him four times and give him 91 charges and be Trump to be winning in all the battleground states, let alone win the primaries, they have to be at one point closing the door and saying, wait a second, who are we talking to? Why is no one listening to us? Why don't Hispanic hate him? He said poisoning our blood. They're coming from the southern border. Why is he winning the Hispanic vote? Do you think at some point they're going to realize the kids aren't listening to their parents?
Well, I mean, here's the thing. The reason the Hispanics are coming to him, and the Democrats have lost 30 points with Black Americans and 17 points with Hispanics since 2020. Why is that? They can't understand it. The answer is because they're experiencing the same inflation as we are, as the rest of the country. They're experiencing the same crime that the rest of us are, sometimes more in some of these neighborhoods. They're afraid to ride the subways like the rest of us. They're seeing right. the same foreign policy debacles on the all over the world, and the world's on fire. And so all the same reasons that everyone else is, Joe Biden is the least popular president in the history of the United States of America since they started doing public polling. No one has ever been this unpopular. So of course he's less popular with Hispanics. Of course he's less popular with Blacks. He's less popular with everyone.
So I want you to hear this. I want to let you go and have you comment after. But when I talk about the establishment media, what I'm building up to is, for example, the New York Times. Wow, look at all the readers it has, the global reach. It's still an institution. I want you to hear eavesdrop on Bill Maher and John Cleese, the legendary comedian. Cut 34.
I'm just reading this, like thinking, oh, we're so. They're just saying the dumbest. Mm-hmm. And it's printed in the New York Times.
I know. You know? Well, I used to think that was a great newspaper. I don't anymore.
I don't either. I mean, it's sad because it was like on my breakfast table when I was a kid. It was in my parents' house.
It was what
house.
They call a newspaper record.
It was. What is annoying about it is that it's not just give me the facts. There's way too much editorializing on the front page, the way the articles that are just supposed to be the fact kind of articles are slanted one way. And I'm not even necessarily for the other side.
No.
I just want someone to tell me the whole truth.
The frustration that they're talking about now, we've been talking about for 15 years. And yeah, so it just seems to be, it gives me hope.
So there's a political realignment that's taken place, right? The Republican Party has become the party of the working class. The Democrats used to be the party of the working class, right? Reagan won the Reagan Democrats, the working class, right? But they were the party of the working class. The Democrats have in turn become the party of coastal elites and minorities. They're now starting to lose the minorities. You know, they need super majorities because they've lost the working class. They need more Black and Hispanic votes. They're losing votes with those people. And so what's left? The coastal elites. And what is the New York Times? The New York Times's business model is to feed red meat to the coastal elites, liberal red meat to the coastal elites. That's why they're successful financially, because they talk, they're in an echo chamber, and they provide the echo chamber what it wants to hear. And so that it's a successful business model. But it's not. But it means that they're completely oblivious to what's happening in the rest of the country because they are not covering the rest of the country.
I know.
They're not interested in the rest of the country, and they don't know what's happening in the rest of the country because that's not in their echo chamber. And so when they sit there and say, "Why are Blacks and Hispanics not voting for Biden? I mean, Trump's a racist, right? We all know that." And it's like, well, have you gone out and seen gone to a grocery store with a Black or Hispanic person in Texas and asked them what they think of Bidenomics? When they're paying $125 for the same basket of groceries that 3 years ago was less than $100, yeah, that's why they're voting for Trump. I mean, get out of your echo chamber.
Maybe it's going to happen. This is what gives me hope. I mean, in 2020, it was like okay, it was I felt like it was guys like you and me against the world. Even when we disagree, we understood the issues, but people are oblivious to the other side. Now people on the other side are going, I'm reading the New York Times, Washington Post, go, I'm wasting my time. They're slanted in covering the news. I don't have to wait for the opinion section to get the coverage. The latest example is, that gives me a lack of hope, is Tony Bobulinski and his explosive testimony not covered on any channel except ours. So yeah.
Read James Bennett. James Bennett, the opinion editor who was fired over the Tom Cotton piece, did an incredible piece in The Economist magazine laying out basically what he says is the New York Times has gone from liberal bias to illiberal bias. It's gone from tilting left to trying to shut down conservative speech entirely. And that's the problem with the entire legacy media.
And it's a problem for some clear thinking Democrats, too. Mark Thiessen, always great. And you have a great column now about Ukraine. So please, everyone, read it. When we come back, we wrap up this hour. Brian Kilmeade Show.
Covering this election year like no other, it's Brian Kilmeade. He's so busy, he'll make your head spin. It's Brian Kilmeade.
70% of the people in this country do not want a contest between Trump and Biden. The New York Times is not going to allow those people to get in. Those Americans who don't want to see a rerun of this contest, don't you think they deserve something? And the New York Times, a Democratic, is essentially an instrument of the Democratic Party.
RFK had it out with the New York Times because they kept just asking, why are you doing this? You're going to hurt Republicans. Here's a little more from RFK.
Understand that you're making an institutional argument. I'm asking about the work that we do, and I'm posing a question to you.
You've been making institutional arguments against me since this started. You're an instrument of the DNC. Doing what you're doing is to try to spin this some way that it's going to help Biden and hurt Trump and get rid of any threat to that narrow guardrail in the guardrail contest that the New York Times approves of.
So that's RFK having it out. He's played an important role. He's got 15-20%. This guy's going to make a real difference. I got to announce this, and it really bothers me to say this. Congresswoman Marjorie Taylor Greene has filed a motion to vacate Speaker Johnson because they don't like this spending bill. Sickening. These people are idiots. Self-obsessed, egomaniac idiots. I'm going to watch up. Please watch One Nation Saturday at 9 o'clock. And also, get tickets. April 27th is going to be History, Liberty, and Laughs in Henderson, Nevada. BrianKilmeade.com.
From the Fox News Podcasts Network. Subscribe and listen to the Trey Gowdy Podcast. Former federal prosecutor and four-term U.S. congressman from South Carolina brings you a one-of-a-kind podcast. Subscribe and listen now by going to foxnewspodcasts.com. Listen to the show ad-free on Fox News Podcast Plus, on Apple Podcasts, Amazon Music with your Prime membership, or subscribe wherever you get your podcasts.